We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Things got heated again in Ferguson last night. There was some damage. There were some police officers with some minor injuries. Just one place around the country where protests have broken out in the wake of the death of George Floyd. So what's leadership in situations like this? Well, my guests are Lisa Flynn and Eric McNulty. They're with Harvard's National Preparedness Leadership Initiative. Lisa and Eric, thank you very much for being here this morning.
Thank you, Brian. Happy to be here.
So as you two watch what's happening around the country and you take this in context of what you have studied as far as leadership, what are your thoughts? Let's start with Lisa first.
Well, I think, Brian, I told you last night I was going to speak with Greg Fabra, who is a St. Louis local, and he and I had a conversation, and we talked a lot about how it's easiest to look at law enforcement as a whole problem, and we can't rely on law enforcement that can make the necessary change to really fix this. We need to improve policy and training, community and social support, and structural change in the criminal justice system. Really, though, the leadership that's necessary to change the complex and pervasive issues that are racism and social determinants of health, socioeconomic issues, and the history of policing, that has to come from the top. It's leaders at the top need to start working on these complex issues with the people who have been on the ground doing the work, studying, and coming up with recommendations. And we need our mayors and governors and city councilors, our legislative leaders, to be really bought in for the long run, and be visible and engaged and actively listening and responding with empathy to people who are out there protesting with really valid valid complaints and claims of history of violence and oppression.
And Eric, do you agree?
I do. I think that one of the things we see, and we've been at the NPL Live and studying these kind of crisis situations for almost 20 years now, a range of crisis situations, and crises always expose systemic problems. You know, the work on healthy relationships across the community, across business, community leaders, daily citizens, the law enforcement and elsewhere has to happen and be part of a daily routine. You have to build it into building those relationships every single day, because the things that we're seeing right now didn't just pop up out of nowhere. As Lisa mentioned, there's some systemic long-term problems that need to be addressed, and they need to be addressed at a systemic level, really looking at it over the long haul and finding all the root causes, and then how do you address them?
You know, I mentioned it earlier. I cannot believe that in 2020 we're dealing with this type of racism in our country. This should have been taken care of a long time ago, but you think back to the 60s when it really hit hard. You had what happened in Ferguson a few years ago. We've had other protests, other situations in St. Louis in recent years. You talk about leadership, and I mean, how did we stay here? How come we haven't done what you guys just were talking about and had leaders that really work on a long-term solution and keep at it so that it the situation improves?
Well, I think that on the one hand, you have too many people who will say when something like this isn't happening, the protests in the streets, that the problem's gone away. It wasn't that long ago we were thinking we might be in a post-racial America. We certainly are not there now. And so I think it is what we need from leaders is an acknowledgement of the problem a visibility in their commitment to the problem and to solving the problem, and then that active regular activity to build the kind of structures, to put into place the policies, and to fund the initiatives that are going to help address it. You know, we in Boston have had our history of racial issues, yet in recent years we've seen much less in terms of civil unrest, and that's in part because in addressing those earlier issues, police sat down with community leaders. They're out there on the streets daily building those relationships that make a difference and trying to invest in the kind of things that build communities up. Because I think there's no one out there in any city in America who likes seeing what we're seeing right now. You can't ignore it. It takes investment. It takes time. It takes patience. That can be a hard thing for elected officials because they've got short terms.
And Lisa...
Right, and I think also... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Brian.
No, you go ahead and add what you were going to say, Lisa. Go ahead.
You know, we've seen some chiefs of police in major cities putting in some of the lessons we learned in Ferguson about higher ups in law enforcement and civil leadership needing to be visible and engaged. Their officers in Kansas City held a sign that said end police brutality. The chief of police in Atlanta was with her officers having honest conversations with protesters. These are the kinds of things that need to happen nationwide, even when an event like the death of George Floyd isn't happening on camera. So this is what we're dealing with, right? We've seen a video of a man being killed by an officer who's now been charged with third-degree murder, and protests have arisen, and it's motivating people. That motivation dies down, and we end up right back where we were 5 years ago when Michael Brown died. So I think it's a lot of being comfortable with being uncomfortable and having these conversations every day when that motivation goes away. And it's even more, you boil it down to basic issues of budgetary resources, right? Where are civil leaders putting our budgetary money? You know, are they going to community relationships between police and historically marginalized communities? Are we dealing with the public health issues that pervade communities of color and Black communities specifically? You know, their level of economic stability, where people live, access to health care, and social issues like discrimination. We need to address these issues on an ongoing basis and make improvements for communities so they don't find themselves in this endless cycle.
That's Lisa Flynn, also alongside Eric McNulty there with Harvard's National Preparedness Leadership Initiative. One of the things that I think is that so much is based on the next election. Corporate decisions are based on making sure the shareholders are happy so I can keep my job as the top of the company. And the same thing goes with politics and leaders, that they're looking at the next election. So once this dies down, they don't want to bring it back up into the public eye because that could hurt their reelection chances. Is that part of this stagnation that we're in?
Well, I think what you have to look at is, you're right to a point, and I think it is part of the limitation of elected officials having that window of 2 or 4 years or 6 years for a senator, that these problems are not necessarily going to be solved within their term in office, and they don't get a lot of credit for trying. So that is definitely a limitation. I think, however, what we're really going to need are leaders who will say, this is going to go beyond me. I'm going to put a few bricks in the wall, and I'm going to make it easier for the next person to put a few more bricks in the wall and to put policies in place that can endure beyond my time in office. But I think, you know, Lisa had a real point that you have to look at these deeper systemic issues, and these have served someone's interest. And so we've let them perpetuate in ways that perhaps we shouldn't have when they're right there in front of us to see. But it does take this sort of meta view of a looking at the larger system to say what's really driving this and how do we get beyond it. And that takes some really complex thinking. It takes an investment in policy, and it takes, I think, a national coordination, not just state and local, although with a lot of local nuance to address the individual communities. Lisa?
And I think also, Eric mentioned earlier, building relationships. If those relationships exist with people in the community, leaders in the community, leaders in the faith-based community, leaders in law enforcement, people who are around for decades, right? Generational leaders who are there in the communities doing the work. If our legislative leaders have those relationships and their longstanding relationships, they can pass those relationships on, and that's how the work continues from one election to another.
Well, we definitely need strong leadership at this time, leadership that's looking to bring peace and understanding. And so let's hope we have people step up and do that. Eric McNulty and Lisa Flynn with Harvard's National Preparedness Leadership Initiative, thank you very much for joining me this morning. Really appreciate your insight.
Ryan, thank you so much.
Coming up next, the latest from Ferguson and around the country on Total Information AM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.